Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Take the Word for It, the show with Pat Lynn. I'm Pat Lynn, and with me today, we got, are you there?
Isaac Johnson. Yes, I am.
You are. That's awesome. Isaac, in the back of my head right now, I'm just playing our intro music, and you know what? I feel like we have the best podcast intro music in the business. I can just feel that beat coming in behind me. I feel like we should have it playing for us right now, but you know, we add it in later. That's the magic of technology. Just since we can do that, just want to ask you, just totally off the top of your head, what kind of music guy are you, Isaac? Cause I kind of maybe, you know, had you pegged as maybe a smooth jazz kind of guy, but what do you listen to?
I really love, I like smooth jazz, but I like anything from the '80s. I'll probably just say that anything from the '80s, of any genre from the '80s.
Wow, that's awesome! So if you could see one '80s band and take your wife on a nice date there in Alaska to an '80s band, who would it be?
It would be either REO Speedwagon or Journey, but in their prime. They suck now because they're just so old and their voices are terrible. But in their prime, any one of those, like the soft rock groups, would have been awesome.
Sure. Man, that's pretty epic. I've seen some of those. But I have to say, if I could see anybody in their prime, it would be Michael Jackson. That'd be it for me. And
good choice.
You know, we just had April Fool's Day, and I remember sometime in the early 2000s, somebody posted that Michael Jackson or one of the radio stations, you know, on April Fool's Day ran an ad that they were selling Michael Jackson tickets, and it totally shut down Ticketmaster in the Seattle area because everyone just, you know, wanted to get their hands on tickets. It was pretty epic April Fool's joke. But hey, that's what we're talking about today. In this show, we actually talk about, you know, the things in life that we have to deal with every day and try to bring a biblical perspective to those and want to help you walk through life as a Jesus person. That's why we're doing this. And Isaac and I both believe that God has good things for you and in your future. And so we want to help you with those. And we're spending this entire season on marriage. And before we actually get to today's topic, which is parenting and how to, I guess it's more of like how to keep your marriage solid in the middle of parenting, right? As being someone who's raising kids. I do want to mention before we get going, because I always forget at the end, that if you have an idea or a thought for us, or you want to reach out and just, you know, say hi, that you can reach us at taketheWordForIt@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, your thoughts on our show, or maybe you have a topic you want us to discuss. And then coming up the weekend of October 21st, we're going to be hosting our second marriage conference right here in Sequim, Washington. My wife and I will be hosting it for you, and Isaac will be teaching in here with his beautiful bride, and so we are really looking forward to doing that together again. This is something, Isaac, that you are really good at. How did you get into doing marriage conferences, and why do you like to do them?
I got involved when I was working for a place called Bethel Ridge Family Resources when I lived in Yakima, Washington, and they just had it was during the Bush administration, George W., where he had a faith-based initiative, and so we basically got paid to bring couples up into a mountain place retreat and just love on them and help them with their marriage for the weekend. And
wow.
Didn't know that I was going to like it at first, but as we started doing it more, I got to work on curriculum and things, and just turned into a great opportunity to really invest in couples for 2 to 3 days, but allow them to just get away from all the hecticness of life and just focus on their marriage. So,
yeah. Yeah, and then why do you, you know, what are the benefits that you see from it? Why are you still doing it today?
I mean, the benefits just are far-reaching. It's kind of like the weekend to remember. My wife and I have gone to several of these things, and we have just, every time we go, we get some tidbit that just lingers for years in our marriage in a good way. And so I just feel like couples, I've had so many testimonials from couples over the years who have gotten back in touch with me and said, oh, wow, that weekend, it wasn't necessarily something I said. It was just getting away and being intentional. They said it really was a turning point in their marriage, or it got them through a tough spot. So it does bear fruit. And we also know it's so important because the enemy just really comes against it anytime we do these things and tries to disrupt it. And so if Satan's against it, we're definitely for it.
That's awesome. So let me just throw out a couple of tidbits on this. And Jennifer, my wife, and I, we've attended, I think, twice, and then we hosted last time for you to, perform the marriage conference. And every time we've gone, we've learned something different, including last time. And mm-hmm. And we're really excited about this time. We'll be here in Sequim, be on in a beautiful home on the water. And it's kind of nice to be in a home instead of like at a conference center or something like that. Plenty of room with couches and places to sit, and then providing, you know, meals for you. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful, setting for an event like this. I think last time we did it, we had 15 couples with us. So mm-hmm. There will be kind of limited space, but that also, you know, gives you the opportunity to have great conversations, and meet some new people. And so, if you're looking for something to do in October, or more importantly, if you would like to do something, like Isaac said, you know, you learn things that you can carry with you through your marriage for years, whether it's a small thing or a larger thing. Everybody I know that has done this has been so grateful, and last time was a great experience. And so we're looking forward to it. It'll be the weekend of October 21st, and soon on the show here we'll have registration cost information and where you can register online, and so that'll be coming up here pretty soon. But today we're talking about marriage in relationship to parenting, how you keep a marriage going and thriving in the midst of being a parent. And honestly, this is kind of a hard thing. You know, my life dream was to be a dad and you know, to have a wife and get to do the whole family experience. And after breaking my neck and thinking it wasn't going to happen, I'd kind of given up on it. And now I'm a dad of three small children. And you know, one of the hardest things for my wife and I is to spend time building each other up and really investing in one another because we're so busy with little kids, you mm-hmm. know. And I'm sure that this changes as you get older. Your kids are in a different spot than mine, right? They're teenagers, and I've got
right.
three kids under five. And so, mm-hmm. you know, the experiences that you have in life are going to change, and the responsibilities are going to change as you go. And there's something sweet and amazing just about the place that we're in. You know, I just, gosh, each of my kids, so special when your kids are born, you know, getting to hold them and pray over them and, you know, the whole, you know, birth experience, and bringing a kid home and just going through all these different things together. And, gosh, there's some incredible, incredible things, but you can really get lost, in parenting. And what I mean by that is trying to keep your head above the water, you know, in everyday life. And then it seems like your marriage actually might take a backdoor seat. You know, do you have any thoughts on this? What kind of is your experience just as a parent? What was that? Has that been like for you? Is what I'm saying even like close to agreeable, or how, what was your experience with that?
Yeah, same as you. Wanted to be a dad, and have enjoyed raising my kids, but also, you know, just knowing that it does get to be a quite a hectic thing. And you know, I really do believe that you got to sort of protect your marriage from your kids, because they're just egocentric. And I don't know about you, but I never stayed up late at night worrying about my parents' marriage and thinking of ways to improve it when I was a kid. And yeah. I doubt my daughters do that either. So they just assume it's fine and they don't feel any problems getting their needs met. So yeah, blessing for sure, but also I think it's something that couples can not pay attention to, and then it can really sneak up on you. In fact, one of the things that we know from research is couples get divorced at two different stages, one in around the 7 to 8 year range in marriage when everything's come out in the open and you're having to deal with stuff. But the other one that sneaks up on couples is the empty nest, where now all of a sudden they're childless and they don't know what to do with themselves.
You know? Yeah, that one shocks me. It shocks me when I, you know, just casually run into somebody who I haven't seen in a while, and their kids have graduated high school, and say, hey, what's going on with you guys? How are you doing? And they're like, well, we got divorced. You know, I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? You know, don't, I mean, it's not like you say that to them, but just in your brain, that's what registers, because some people seem so solid in their marriage, and then their kids disappear, and so does their marriage.
Right. Jeez. Yep. And for the truth is, a lot of their marriage, the foundation was their kids.
Wow. And so that's what you're saying, is that's why it's so important that you continue to focus on your marriage throughout as a, you know, its own entity. Certainly it's all intertwined, right? Certainly your marriage is intertwined with being a parent and your work and all of those things in life, but you have to put the energy on a regular basis into your relationship. And that's why we're spending the season talking about this. So Isaac, this week I spent some time looking through scripture, specifically what it talked about in terms of parenting, and the Bible doesn't actually say a whole lot about parenting. You know, there's a few passages, and Ephesians and Corinthians have a passage that's very similar, and the two of them are both, of course, written by Paul. You know, and the Psalms have some advice about parenting. Psalm 22, direct your children onto the path that is right, and when they're older, they will not leave it, certainly. You know, Psalm 127, children are a gift from the Lord, and they are reward from him, right? And then Ephesians and Colossians both say, children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do, honor your mother and your father. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you. I don't know how many times you've used that as a parent, but I use it all the time. and then it says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. And I thought it was funny that actually turns up in both of those letters from Paul. I think that was probably a big deal to him. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. So, you know, as a parent, you have a responsibility to raise your children and even says here to bring them up with discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. And so instructing them, disciplining them, certainly you do those things out of love because you want the best for them. But in terms of a relationship between the two of them as it relates to parenting, between a husband and a wife, there's not a lot there. There's not a lot of, this is how you do that, right? There are passages, matter of fact, in the same one, it says, you know, husbands honor your wives and wives honor your husbands. But not a lot of, step by step, how do I actually make this happen in my marriage? So I think that's what we want to get at today. And so my first question for you would just be, this simple one. How does having kids actually affect your marriage? What are some ways that it actually affects your marriage?
Well, the first one is not good. Research shows that it causes your relational satisfaction to plummet. Just one child, and then it just exponentially as you add more. Somebody said one time as a comedian that he said, well, what's it like to have five kids if you've had four kids? And he said, well, imagine you're drowning and somebody throws you a baby. So that's what it feels like is just kids are egocentric. They don't come out of the womb ready to just, be functioning human beings in society. And they're certainly not about serving God yet. So they're all about themselves, and they will just suck you dry emotionally, physically. And so a lot of couples find out pretty quickly that kids get in the way. I've had so many people just say, wow, we had a lot more fun together before we had kids. And that doesn't mean that kids are bad. It's said in Psalms that it's good to have a full quiver of arrows, a lot of kids. Right. But the reason God doesn't give us a lot of parenting advice, because God just wants us to do two things. Train them up to become believers, because that's our ultimate path, is to make sure they're going to heaven with us, and then enjoy them, just like he enjoys us as his kids. And so we discipline them to enjoy them, but also to realize that we didn't make a covenant with them. They are a byproduct of the covenant we made with our spouse. So he or she comes first. I never said I do to my kids. And they know that. And then the other part is we got to think practically, everything about your kids is designed to leave you. Mm. You know, so you're the one holding on to them. If it's a healthy relationship, you're clinging to them. They're trying to get away from you. They have a rebellious nature, and it's God designed them to. Our job is just to prepare them to leave us. So that's a weird thought. You know, so, you know, I think that if people see it that way, then kids can be a blessing to a marriage. But the people that say, oh, we're struggling in our marriage, have a baby together. That's like Hollywood. That's horrible. That's only make things worse. Yeah. So instead, you want to say have a baby is a blessing, but it's not the end all result of our love for one another.
Okay, so I think there's a couple important things that you brought out here, and maybe you're listening today, or you know someone who should be listening, because maybe they are, you know, a first time parent, you know, or just. You know, maybe they got three or four kids, but they're kind of overwhelmed at home and their marriage has become difficult. This would be a great episode to share with them. And really, because here's what you're hearing. You're hearing that when you bring a child into the marriage, which is a great thing and a blessing, it's going to be hard. And this is kind of a difficult thing, because then your flesh might say, well, maybe I should just get out of this. What the Lord says, I brought two of you together, and your flesh has become one, right? And that what the Lord brought together, no one should break apart. And so, Isaac, one of the things that you say frequently is that marriage is for holiness and not for happiness. And so if you're sitting here today and you're saying, my marriage is not happy because we got a newborn, I should be happy. We're brand new married. We just got married the last year, and this year we have our first baby, and we've done everything right, and everything's perfect, but our marriage is miserable right now. Guess what? That's normal. That's yes. What I'm hearing is that is a normal thing. And so what you need to do then is invest in your marriage and reassure each other and walk forward. And, you know, and maybe pointing some of that energy back to the Lord and saying, Lord, how can we do this together to the best of our ability? And then, you know, just in previous episodes, Isaac, you've given some great information about seeking help from people who have, you know, done this before. So you're not alone. Don't do this alone. Don't feel like you're alone. You don't need to do it alone. And the fact that you have a kid or two or three or four is a good thing. But the best things in life, man, they can be super hard. Jeez. So this might seem like kind of an obvious question, but why is it important to protect our marriage from our kids? And let's say that we're struggling in that. How can we do it? How do I protect my marriage with my spouse from the children that we've made?
Well, it's important because we said they are parasites. They're cute. God made them cute, so we would keep them. But they're parasites, and they suck you dry. They're dependent on you.
Hold on just one second. Hold on. The other day, somebody told me, hey, you know, who wouldn't want a kid? All kids are cute. And I'm going to be honest with you. Not every kid is cute, okay? 90% of babies are cute. There are 10% that I'm like, Lord, what's going on here? So if you're listening, you might hate me for that. But, Isaac, go ahead and continue your train of thought there.
They generally are cute to the parents, that's for sure.
Yeah, okay.
Everybody else fakes it. But I do think then some of the practical things we can do when it comes to protecting our marriage is realize that first and foremost, your marriage comes first. You know, and you don't have to say that to the kids necessarily, but you came first. So there's an order of operation: God, your spouse, then your kids. And so how you funnel through all your decision making, I have to think about it as like, is this in order of operation, where does this decision fit? And so sometimes your kids are going to lose out temporarily for the marriage or for God. We tell our kids that all the time. Like, you know, I tell them my mom is more the priority than you are. And that doesn't mean I love you any less. It's just more the priority, just like God is more the priority over all of us. You know, so getting your priorities straight is first and foremost, and just holding on to that throughout your marriage. And then in just everyday life, things like one of the things that couples want to make sure you do, teach your kids to not interrupt you and your spouse. Mm-hmm. So this is hard because kids always want to like tap on your shoulder and things. And so we had to learn that with our, you know, and teach our kids that growing up, where if mom and dad are having a conversation, unless you're bleeding to death, you know, or some crazy crisis, you have to wait. And it teaches them to know where they fit in that priority list. You know, so that takes practice, but honestly, it works really well and kids adjust. Secondly, you need to make sure that you are scheduling their bedtime at least an hour before you and your wife. So I don't, you know, I tell our girls, I don't care what you do in your bedroom. It's just negotiation in reverse. You know, I'll give you whatever you want. Just stay in your room. But it's just the idea of that's mom and dad's time. And then we protect that. So, you know, my kids know that when we're sitting on the couch and it's past, you know, there's that time period where they're gone, they can come out and get something or whatever, but they have to leave us alone. And then the other one is just practical. Don't make your dates around the kids' activities. That's an event. You know, so people will say, oh, we're going to have a date night because we're going to our kids' baseball game or something like that. No, that's an event. A date is something between you and your spouse. Do not define it any other way. And let the kids know that we are going to go do something without you. And we're excited to be without you. And it's okay.
So ladies, if you're listening, or gentlemen, you got to step up and realize, you know, the soccer game that your kid has and dinner afterwards with the team is not a date with your wife, right? You need to do something different. And ladies, if that's not happening in your marriage, Isaac, you would say, it's okay to stand up and go to your husband and say, hey, sweetheart, we got to plan something on our own. I need a date, right? Fight for that.
Exactly.
Okay, what else do you have?
So just in that idea of, you know, being prioritizing one another in that sense, and then letting the kids know that, hey, this is our special time together. So it's just everything that you're doing as a couple, just realizing that you're preparing for being away from your kids. The reason couples get divorced when their kids leave is because their whole foundation was their kids. And then when their kids are gone, they don't know what to do with each other. And so what we need to do is just during the time that you're having your kids, you know, that's the work you're doing with your spouse, so that when the kids are gone, it's like, whew, relief. You know, I tell my girls, I'm looking forward. I love you, but I'm looking forward to you moving out someday, because having kids was not the main focus of my marriage. I'm not going to get to heaven and God's like, you have 35 kids. Good for you. The main focus of my marriage was being committed to my wife, having that covenant and exemplifying Jesus in my marriage. And my kids are a byproduct of that. And hopefully they go on to serve the Lord. And it's like a pyramid scheme. So I have as many of them underneath and they have kids and kids and kids, and it's generationally for eons and eons. But there's a reason why God even says in the Bible too, that he doesn't hold us accountable for our kids' sins, because they are their own person. So just, I think the world makes it seem like, you know, that our kids are everything, and we have to learn to say no to our kids too. That's another big one. So just your kids need to know, as you as a spouse, you and your husband and wife, they need to know that you guys love each other fiercely, that the kids can't get in between the two of you ever. So when you're disciplining them, don't undermine each other. Don't, you know, if you have a disagreement, go talk about it in the other room and stuff. And so that they just see that you guys are a team and you're always going to be a team. And I've never had a client that I've worked with who said, I'm pretty messed up because my parents had a great marriage. Right. You know, they had such a great marriage that it just messed me up. It's never happened. So I think those are just those things that you got to be intentional about. But that first step in this process, it's a paradigm shift of order of operation. And that's really hard. I've talked to a lot of people who are like, they want to say, oh, my kid is everything. I even had a person say, if it came down to my spouse or my kid, I'd choose my kid. And I said, then you're wrong. That is dishonoring to your spouse.
Well, that's hugely powerful, and I think you think about it in our culture, and you're right. You know, we're so trained to put all of the energy into our kids, and you should certainly invest a huge amount of effort into your kids. But think about this, you know, Someday your kids, and just like you said, biologically, they're designed to start leaving you as, you know, just after they're born. Watch a child, you know, as they develop, right? And the little ones as they develop, the more independent they become, the less they want to be in your arms, you know, and the more you're having to train them to be obedient. And there's a reason that the Bible says that the Lord chastises, the Lord disciplines those that he loves. So that's a great model for us. All through Scripture, you see God disciplining those, you know, the children of Israel and trying to bring them into a place of obedience. And it's not so that he can say, hey, I'm in charge of you. It's so that they experience the blessing of living under obedience. And, you know, Ten Commandments is very clear that obeying your mother and your father comes with a blessing. And the blessing is that you live a long time. Why? Because you were trained well. And so as a parent, you have this responsibility to train your children well, which means that, guess what? You get to be a parent, not their best friend, right?
Exactly.
So train up your child in the way that it should go, and it's not going to stray from it. You will have a child who is disciplined, who is respectful, who is confident, and then when they are looking for a spouse someday, they're going to look for the things that you showed them. We just naturally do it. We naturally look for people that, you know, we are familiar with because we're comfortable with that. And so hopefully your spouse, the two of you are operating in a way that your marriage is the priority and your kids see that as a priority. And when your daughter is looking for a husband, she's looking for a man who is respectful to her and who treats her well and who builds her up and who makes her a priority. And you know, these things are going to last in that relationship. She's not going to settle for somebody who treats her like crap. And you know, and hopefully your son is the same way and confident enough to be the same way because they're looking for something that they've already seen. So, gosh, I feel like that's so important. And, you know, one of the things, though, today, you know, this is probably just on a totally separate deal. You could probably spend a whole episode on this, but let's just say that I have a blended family, you know, and so, you know, I've remarried and my new spouse has, you know, kids that are a little bit older. How does that work? What do I need to do there?
You know, the principles still apply, and this is the number one issue that I deal with in blended families is where the kids hijack the marriage. You've got the kids from one marriage coming in and being jealous, the kids of another, and neither one is for the marriage necessarily. And I always just say, too, you married this person. It might be your second marriage, your third marriage, but it is still a new covenant. And so you have to be united. The kids have to know these principles apply to all of us. You know, so I tell blended families that the best thing that you can do is as a couple, you go in and you dictate the rules. I've seen so many couples who come in and they have this new marriage and they're like, they say to the kids, maybe of the one parent's kids and the other parent's kids, like, what do you guys think it should look like? Or, you know, and they want it to all be this big happy thing. And it might take a couple of years of adjustment, but it's the kids' job to adjust to the new marriage, not the marriage to adjust to the kids. Mm. And I think that is the primary thing where I see blended families get off track is they try to accommodate the kids because they feel guilty, because they put their kids through a divorce and all that. And I said, you're doing them no favors. Mm. And so dealing, you know, my old boss, they were a blended family and they had to figure it out. And they had to realize, they just said, our marriage is going to outlast their problems, you know. Mm. And I think that was, and the kids eventually all came back around because kids come back to respect. People come back to respect. And so what your primary thing is to say, you're going to respect us. You're going to respect this marriage. It's not a mean thing, but it's their choice to adapt to you.
Hey, let me just throw this out too on that end. You know, over the years as a pastor and specifically a youth pastor, I've seen a lot of blended families where the kids don't feel valued in a relationship, and most of the time they're not feeling valued by their new, you know, adopted father. And so I love the terminology in Scripture that we are adopted into sonship and in the family of Christ through the blood of Jesus. You know, that He and God the Father are the heads of our family, and that we're adopted into sonship, into life with Christ, and we're under His covering. And so, hey, maybe you're listening and you are a new dad to, you know, a child that is not biologically your child. And I would just encourage you to love that child like it's your own. And, you know, how you discuss that piece, you know, as a family or the, you know, it's certainly up to you. And there are ways to do that. But, man, let that kid know that child is loved. And because you're never going to regret having, I think, loved, you know, and put that out, especially for children. And so, man, it's a complicated world that we live in. But I am thankful that Jesus, you know, has adopted me into His family. As a matter of fact, as a young man of 19, I can tell you, and I may have shared on the show before, about the families that adopted me into their families, not legally or anything, but after I became a Christian and I was, you know, on my own as a young man and didn't know what to do. And these families say, hey, let us show you how to do life. And that is just, that's a love that I will never forget. And so it's an opportunity that you have. You get to be a parent. Man, that is some solid stuff today. Isaac, do you think you have anything else for the good of the order?
I think, you know, just if you want to think of it from I like somebody said, this rhyme kind of sticks with us. It's, your job as a parent is preparation for separation. You know, so when you think of it that way, my primary goal is to prepare my kids to be out on their own. And, you know, I want them to feel loved. I want them to feel special, all those good things. But I've had so many kids. I have a kid right now that I know, he's 27 years old. No, his mom loves him fiercely, and he's never going to leave. Because she has not prepared him to go anywhere and figure out life. She does everything for him. So just really letting your kids, your job as a couple is preparation for separation. And your marriage has to outlast the kids. They're going to leave you. And you want to make sure that your marriage, you live happily ever after with your spouse. You don't live happily ever after with your kids.
Yep.
And I think that's a big thing. So.
Wow. All right. Well, next week, Isaac, we're going to be talking about listening in your marriage. Mm-hmm. A lot of us like to talk. Sometimes listening is a difficult thing to do. And man, I'm looking forward to that conversation with you. Everybody, thanks for joining us today. It's been Pat Lynn and Isaac Johnson on Take the Word for It. Once again, if you have any questions or thoughts on our show, or you'd just like to maybe email us with a topic, you can get us at taketheWordForIt@gmail.com. Have a fantastic week, everybody. Bye-bye.